Get ready to dive into the whirlwind world of America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Join us on the podcast, Taylor Swift Today, for your dose of all things Tay-Tay. From all the scoop on her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department, to the latest gossip, tours, and more, it's time to shake off the haters and embrace the enchanting universe of Taylor Swift. Follow Taylor Swift Today, your ultimate Swift-obsessed podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, from USA Today, for 1,000 years, give or take, crowned heads have presided over the nations that make up the United Kingdom. But will it always be so? Once again, anti-monarchists are suggesting that it might not after Queen Elizabeth II shuffles off this mortal coil. Prince Charles is not as popular, and he took hits in a recent YouGov poll. About 42% said they have a negative view of him, up from 36%. His favorability numbers have decreased from 57 to 49. King Charles III has long seemed an iffy enough proposition for Republicans to harbor hope of voting out the monarchy eventually. For some, alarm bells are clanging. The crisis has accelerated the Republican movement, says Anna Pasternak, a royal biographer who's written about Princess Diana and Wallace Simpson. The monarchy stands for imperialism, colonialism, and an unelected elite body, Pasternak says. Hence, at times, familial petty bickering and airing monogrammed linen in public, there is understandably a surge in Republican sentiment. It is hard to understate the current crisis. Sarah Gristwood, a historian, journalist, novelist, and Tudor biographer, doesn't believe the monarchy will end except in some smaller Commonwealth realms that no longer want a foreign head of state. Charles was damaged back in the 90s by the War of the Wales, but in recent years he's come to look much more convincing as a king-in-waiting, Gristwood says. I suspect the crown benefits also from the current widespread mistrust of politicians, says Gristwood. If the Queen weren't head of state, who would be? And how many of us would want them? But what would happen to everyone were the monarchy to end? Yahoo News took a look. The Queen would move out of Buckingham Palace, but she wouldn't have to give up all her royal residences. The palace is usually open to visitors in the summer, while Her Majesty vacations at her Scottish holiday home, Balmoral Castle. However, it could become a permanent tourist attraction if the Queen were to officially move out. The palace is the property of the Crown Estate, which Queen Elizabeth is the owner of as long as she is monarch. However, this would change if she was no longer head of state, according to the Crown Estate's official website. The Crown Estate is owned by the monarch in right of the crown, the website reads. This means that the Queen owns it by virtue of holding the position of reigning monarch for as long as she is on the throne, as will her successor. Other residences that are crown-owned that the Queen would have to give up include Windsor Castle, her Easter residence, and the Palace of Holyrood House, her Edinburgh residence. The Queen privately owns Balmoral Castle in the Scottish Highlands and the Sandringham Estate in Norfolk, where she spends every Christmas and New Year. Therefore, it's likely she would choose one of these as her new permanent residence. At the age of 94 and 72 respectively, it's possible that the Queen and Prince Charles, who is heir to the throne, would retire from public life if the monarchy was abolished. It's more likely that the younger generation of royals, such as Kate Middleton and Prince William, would follow Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's lead and try to shape their own careers. USA Today adds, of course, it's just down to speculation as to whether Middleton and William would take on similar work to Harry and Markle if they were forced to pursue private careers. They do have similar skill sets to the Sussexes. They currently run their own charity, the Royal Foundation, where they often give speeches at charity dinners and events. Like Markle, they also have experience with voiceover work. Middleton, William, Harry, and Markle co-narrated a mental health commercial directed by Richard Curtis in 2019. As for daily podcasts that follow the royals, we're pretty confident the winding down of the monarchy would give us something to talk about, at least for a while. Palace Intrigue will be right back.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
During Oprah-palooza, we didn't get a chance to share that we learned Prince William called the Queen Gary, as he was unable to pronounce granny. or that Prince Philip is said to call Her Majesty pet names such as Cabbage and Sausage. And according to OK Magazine, Harry doesn't call the Duchess of Cambridge Kate, but instead refers to his sister-in-law as Kath. Kate has previously admitted that she doesn't mind which name people choose to call her. During an interview with BBC Radio 1 presenter Scott Mills, she said, "I will answer to most things." And the Daily Star reports Meghan Markle gave a shop assistant her autograph in 2009 in case she ever became famous, it has been claimed. Now, Instagram account Overheard Celebs, which posts about celebrity encounters, shared a story submitted by a woman named Julie who claimed she met Margot while working as a shop assistant in Vancouver, Canada. Julie said Meghan bought a purse from her and spoke of her job as an actress before the shop worker asked for an autograph in case she ever got famous. The post said, "I met a sweet woman in 2009 while working retail and she purchased a purse from me. We got to chatting and she mentioned she was an actress currently filming in Vancouver. I didn't think much of it, but asked if I could have her autograph so I could say I had it once she became famous. She chuckled and said, yes, of course. I wished her luck and never saw her again. 2 years later, I flipped on my TV to see her starring in Suits. I was really happy that her dream came true. And just when I thought being successful on a TV show was cool, she then ended up marrying into one of the most famous families in the world, becoming the Duchess of Sussex." Julie said she will treasure Meghan's note forever, adding a picture of the autograph. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.